All right, so you may have heard it's Pentecost, and that's tradition for folks in the church to wear red. I see some of y'all are wearing red, and I got my socks on today, so that's in remembrance of the tongues that are like fire that came on people for us to remember this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to see in this event of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 how the Holy Spirit formed the early church to help them break out of their Judaism mold that they were kind of in danger of being stuck in, and carrying them on into this new covenant that Jesus had established. So they learned a lesson, and I hope we also can learn a lesson as we study this story of Pentecost today, because here we are 2,000 years later still dealing with some of the very same issues that the church had to overcome in those early years. So as we come before God's word once again, let's pray. Oh God, we do thank you for this opportunity to open your scriptures. We pray that you would open our hearts as we read, that you would speak to us through your word today, fill us with this Holy Spirit that you gave on Pentecost. God, bless this reading of your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Pentecost is found in Acts chapter 2, so we'll be reading the first part of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pentecost. So the Jewish Christians were gathered on the day of Pentecost. It's a Jewish festival that happened 50 days. Pentecost means 50 days after Passover. It was also called the Feast of Weeks because it landed 7 weeks after Passover. They were continuing in their Jewish customs. Nothing was wrong with that necessarily. It was fine for them to celebrate Pentecost, but God wanted to take this opportunity to push them and move them into something new and different because they were living under the new covenant that Jesus had established. And so if the Holy Spirit had not intervened on this day, they would have been in danger of just continuing being Jews and starting this whole new movement that was like Judaism 2.0. And God said, no, it's not just the next step of Judaism. This is something new, an entirely new covenant. And I want to make sure that y'all understand the differences. So that's what God was saying to those Jews gathered on Pentecost that day. God intervenes, comes down by the Holy Spirit in power upon them. Now, remember, Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit was coming, right? Charlene read from John where Jesus was telling them, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. This was a promise, and though it was not what they expected on that particular day at Pentecost, this was a fulfillment of Jesus' promise to them. So there were all sorts of Jews from all over the Roman Empire who were some living in Jerusalem, some had come for the festival, but there they were, and they because of the diaspora of the Jews into all of different parts of the Roman Empire, they came speaking all sorts of different languages. You heard the list, I won't read it all again, but all those different places where they came from with different languages. Now, as Jews, they probably would have expected that if God was going to speak to them, he would use their language, right? The Jewish language, Hebrew. It was one of the things that set them apart as a people, right? If God's going to speak, he's going to do it in Hebrew. That's what he did through the whole Old Testament. And though they spoke different languages in their homes these days, Hebrew would have been the language they expect God to speak. Or maybe out of practicality, they would have expected that if God was going to speak on this day, it would have been in Greek, because that's kind of the language of business and trade around the Roman Empire in these days. But that's not what happened. The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they start speaking in everybody's own language. People hear them speaking their home languages, languages of all those in attendance that day. There was some confusion, as you might expect, about this, but there was no denying that it was a miracle. Some people said, well, these people are drunk. Well, that didn't make a lot of sense, you know, not only because it was only 9 in the morning, but there was something else going on here, right? Thankfully, Peter stands up and says, this is what we're experiencing right here is a fulfillment of prophecy. Joel told us about this, and he goes back and he quotes several verses from the prophet Joel and says, Joel said that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on us. In the Old Testament, it was just here and there. The Holy Spirit would inhabit somebody for a specific purpose or a short period of time. But Joel and other prophets talked about the days to come when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on everybody. And Peter says, that's what's happening today. God is up to something. So that did happen. That was the fulfillment of the prophecy. But what was the purpose behind it? It wasn't just for something cool to happen. Oh, cool, you remember that cool language thing God did? That was great. It was for more than just the awe and the effect, right? God had a purpose behind this. And I think that's where we can learn our lesson today. So the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples. They speak in these different languages, but they're speaking to Jews. And let's back up a little bit and remember how the Jews were formed over a couple thousand years before this, right? So the Jews were chosen by God, and one of the highest values they had was that they were separate from everyone else. They were special. They were exclusive because God had chosen them. They had their own language, their own customs, celebrations, histories. Everything was their own. They were different from the rest of the world, and this was commanded by God for them to stay different. They were prohibited to intermarry. They were prohibited even to have contact with Gentiles outside their faith. They were to remain pure and uncontaminated. This was the way of living that God had set up for them. And it was only natural that as they began to take up belief in Jesus, as Jews, they would continue this way of thinking. And God said, hold on, that's not exactly the way this new covenant is going to work. God says, yes, I told you all of that stuff in the past under the old covenant. You were to remain separate, but times have changed now under this new covenant. So the Holy Spirit shows up on Pentecost. And the miracle was not that all these people who speak different languages could all hear the same language, right? They didn't all hear one language, the same language. They heard their own languages. They might have expected that God would have drawn them all together in one language, like Hebrew, in one language to hear. But instead, they heard in their own languages, bunches of different languages. To be a part of God's people now meant that you didn't have to set aside your culture, your customs, your language, and everything. In the past, to become a Jew, it spoke about the proselytes that had come from Rome. To be a proselyte, to become a Jew, you had to set aside the culture that you were coming from, take up the Hebrew language, take up the customs of the Jews. It was an entire change of your culture. God said, that's no longer necessary. In the church, all cultures can be at home. To come to Jesus, you don't have to leave one culture and come to another one. The gospel of Jesus is infinitely translatable into different languages and cultures. If we look at Islam as an example of another type of religion, we find that adherence to Islam, as they're scattered around the world, whether it's in the U.S. or Libya or Indonesia or wherever it might be, though they live in their own culture and language, religiously, Islam is still very Arabic. All the prayers are in Arabic. There's Arab culture and customs scattered throughout Islam, no matter where it's found. In fact, the Quran is it can't be translated out of Arabic. You can translate the Quran, but it's no longer the Quran. It's an interpretation of the Quran at that point, because the only Quran is in Arabic, and there's this strong tie to that Arab culture. A friend of mine who grew up Muslim, later as an adult began following Jesus, he told me why one of the main reasons why he was so attracted to Jesus is because, man, I hear those Christians and their God speaks their language. And he didn't speak Arabic. He grew up learning these prayers in Arabic, but he couldn't talk to God in his own language. And he's like, the Christians get to talk to God and their God speaks their language. That's really attractive. So Pentecost opens things up, allowing different language, different culture, different people to come together as one. Now, certainly there are practices in any culture that come into conflict with the ways of Jesus. That's for sure. But the Holy Spirit teaches those present on Pentecost, and I think is teaching us today, that Jesus doesn't call us all to become exactly the same, homogeneous, right? The Holy Spirit is saying, it's okay to maintain your differences. We're united through Jesus. It's okay for y'all to have your own language. So when we go on a mission trip, for example, we don't go to another culture and tell them they have to become like us in order to follow Jesus. We want to tell them what the Scripture says, but we don't want them to become a Christian like we are in Midland, Texas. In fact, we actually, a lot of our time spent in training a team is to make sure we don't accidentally communicate that to anybody, because we don't want them to become like us. We want them to become like Jesus, right? That's the point. We want them to continue speaking their own language, living in their own culture as a follower of Jesus. In fact, the more diversity there is in in the church, the more we look like God's kingdom. If you look in Revelation as a little snippet, a picture of what God's kingdom is going to look like, it says, a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Every nation, tribe, people, and language. That's what God's kingdom looks like. So when we open the doors to let in other cultures and languages, we're actually looking more and more like the kingdom God has designed. British pastor Roy Clements asks this question. He says, is there a power that can unify the divided nations of earth without subjugating them? Is there a way of making a people one without at the same time making them all the same? And he answers the question by identifying that it's precisely that sort of unity and a mix of unity and diversity that the Holy Spirit brings at Pentecost. Believers in Jesus need not be drawn together by a common language or culture, but rather we're drawn together by the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's what draws us together. You may have heard that diversity of culture is kind of a hot topic today. You may have heard some debates about immigration and stuff like that around. And don't get too excited. I don't have all the answers for that. I certainly don't. In fact, it's a very complex issue. And I want to encourage all of us to be praying for our leaders as they work to figure this out. But in the church, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us a lesson through this story of Pentecost. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we must recognize that there's value as we see outsiders coming into our communities, whether it's Midland or other communities around our country, that there is some value there. Certainly, there's concerns, and I don't want to deny that, but don't forget that there's value in this as well. The Holy Spirit expanded the Jews' vision of what God's kingdom was going to look like on that day. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to expand our vision of what God's kingdom looks like. It's tempting. It's tempting for us to hunker down. When things get difficult and tough and we have our problems to work out and life is hard, it's tempting for us to gather around us all those people who make us comfortable, the people who are like us, who think and look and speak and act like us. But the Holy Spirit hasn't called us to comfortable. The stretching and forming of the early Jewish believers was anything but comfortable for them. So it may just be the Holy Spirit's calling us to a bit of discomfort and stretching. So as the church, I want to encourage us to consider the value of people who come to our city, our communities, our neighborhoods, from different cultures, from different languages. Consider them as valuable. Maybe even the ones who've been here for years but are from a different culture or language. Consider them as valuable, not as a threat or an invasion upon us, but as an asset that can bring us to a place of diversity that God's designed his kingdom to be. So think about who could you invite to a coffee or take to lunch. And we're not talking about, I mean, this doesn't necessarily have to be a refugee, though we have refugees who have come and are coming to our city. It could be any sort of immigrant, maybe another culture from here in our own country. We were traveling just this last weekend in New England, and wow, it's a different culture, let me just say. It's as much different as another country is right here in our own country. And we have lots of people coming to Midland and Odessa and the Permian Basin for work right now. What if we connected with some of these folks, people who are from a different segment of our society even? take them out. And maybe they're already a part of God's kingdom, and we can celebrate that and welcome them and say, hey, it's awesome that we are so different, but we're united in Christ. Or maybe they're still on their way to God's kingdom, and you can welcome them in and say, there's a place for you in God's kingdom. Even though you and I look different, we speak different languages, God wants to welcome you. The lesson we've learned is that God does welcome that person. I think that's the lesson of Pentecost for us today. Now, I'm not suggesting that we throw all caution to the wind. There's caution, and we need to have caution with people coming in from outside, for sure, but to also at the same time see that there's value in this opportunity God's given us for diversity. The early church, they had to be formed and molded by the Holy Spirit. And we too need to be elastic, formable by the Holy Spirit, not too rigid in our ways of thought. No matter what pressure comes from the outside, from our society, from the news, from the world around us, no matter what pressures come, let's not forget God's kingdom values. Despite what we may hear and see in the news, let us firmly stand with the Holy Spirit today, living in such a way as to welcome people of different language, culture, and customs, welcoming them as a rich part of the diversity that God has planned in the church. Amen.